Shalom, everybody. Shabbat Shalom. This is Rabbi Joe. We have a great message for you today. I want to welcome everybody watching on live stream. This is our Yehuda Messianic Congregation in Bristol, also known as For Zion's Sake Ministries. And we want to welcome you. And we have a great message today. The Lord's given me a message on Hanukkah and the bridegroom and the altar. So we're going to have an interesting word on the winter feast that our Lord Yeshua, that Jesus celebrated. So stay with us. We're going to worship today, and God bless you. Let's begin our service today. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for the people who come to worship and join us. And we thank you for those who are homesick. We pray that you heal them and bless them, and those who can't be with us, and family and loved ones who are not able to be with us today, we pray for them and lift them up, and pray that you would meet their needs, whether they're sick, heal them, if they're you know what's going on, Lord. So we just pray, bless this service, pour down your glory and your anointing, bind the strong man. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Where is Shabbat Shalom? I guess it's
in
the liturgy's in the folder. Okay. All right, we're going to begin.
Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Israel, level up on dawn, please. Yom Zeh Israel. Yom Zeh Israel. Hey! Yom Zeh Israel. Level up on dawn, please. For Israel, hey. This day, that's good. That's too much. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of Israel.
Rest today. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Anybody need rest today?
Hallelujah.
Okay, Lord, give us rest. Give us rest. Hallelujah. Amen. Have a seat, please. Anthony, would you do the blessing of the Messiah?
Brukatat and I will hang you melikar olam, asher natan lerek, derek, ha Yeshua,
Yeshua,
amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's given us the way of the Messiah, salvation in the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
come up here, please, and listen. Thank you.
Place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time, O God, in your abundant righteousness. Answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Okay. Vishamru. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. Vishamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. B'nei, O B'nei, B'nei Israel, B'nei Israel, Od Hili Olam. B'shamru, B'nei Israel, Et HaShabbat, Lasod Et HaShabbat, Ledotam Berit Olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam. V'yom ha-shvi shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash, Shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat, lasod et ha-shabbat ledorotam berit olam.
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
How did I know that note?
Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace again. The Lord will prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem, let there be peace no more. God will bless them that love her. Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, Shalom Aleichem. Peace as we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem.
Amen. Anthony, would you pray for the peace of Jerusalem?
Yes.
And for the peace of the Messianic Jewish Alliance and the Messianic Jews in America.
Okay.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day of Shabbat that we've come to rest and worship you today, Lord. We thank you. We pray today for the Messianic community around the world, Lord. The MJA, that you will bless and guide our leadership, Lord. That they will be strong and they will be led by you in a mighty way, Lord. We pray for the land of Israel, Lord, that the Jewish people will come to know Yeshua, the Son of God, as their personal Messiah, Lord. We ask that you bless the Messianic communities around the world, Lord, that you would bless the rabbis, bless the worship leaders, Lord, today, and may the messages be great, uplifting, and encouraging, Lord, as truly we are moving into dark times, Lord, and it appears that the world is gradually forming around Israel, that they think they can destroy God's people and God's land, but one day the Messiah will appear, Lord, and that will have a period of 1,000 years of peace, Lord. So we pray today that you will bless us in our service, Lord. Help us with our finances today, Lord, and bless us as we're trying to rebuild the fellowship hall, Lord. We pray that you'll bless all the Messianic communities today, Lord, and lead and guide and direct us as Yeshua would. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. The servant of the Lord, Isaiah 49:6. And now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept. He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the calling of the Messiah, the calling of the Jewish people, to bring back the lost sheep from the house of Israel and to restore the tribes of Jacob. It's also the calling of the Gentiles, but first he says we need to be a light to the Gentiles, that they may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. That he may bring my salvation. So in other words, the Gentiles are going to be used to bring his salvation to the ends of the earth, because there's not enough Jews. Although Jews went to every nation, there weren't enough of us. That's why you had guys like St. Patrick, who went from England to Ireland and preached the gospel. And you had other saints in history that went around the world preaching in different places, because there just weren't enough Jewish guys to go preaching. In some places, Jewish guys went and preached. They got their heads cut off. So they needed non-Jews to go. So God has a plan. He has it all worked out. Amen? Amen. And the best part of this thing, this verse of Isaiah 49:6 is, for he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. He is your strength. Amen? He's my strength. Lord, you are my strength today. You are my shield. You are my fortress, my strong tower, my rock, and my deliverer. There is nothing I have in this world but you. You are everything. You are all I have in this life, Lord. And you're the only thing that can give me strength, Lord. You sustain us. You feed us. You put a roof over our head. You clothe us. You provide for us, Lord. And you take care of our loved ones. You heal us. Those are just a few of the many things you do. And you instruct us in the way that we should go. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. Amen. Next, what's next? Howdy.
Maker of all.
thing.
Let's try that again. Okay. No, let's try the song again. I'm going to use this mic. Let's start the song.
Our sin and shame, our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
Avinu,
Malkeinu,
so
you sent your son
to take our sin and shame.
Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
That was so good. Let's do it again.
Avinu,
Malkeinu,
Maker of all things, ruling o'er the works of your hands,
You loved us so,
you sent your son
to take our sin
and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
Avinu,
Malkeinu,
Maker of all things,
ruling all the works of your hand.
You sent your son
to take our sin and shame. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
Please rise for the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed. V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha b'chol levavcha u'b'chol nafshecha u'b'chol me'odecha v'hayu hadivarim ha'ele asher enochi mitzvcha hayom al levavecha v'shinatam levanecha v'dibarta ba'am b'shivtecha b'veitecha u'v'lechtecha v'aderech u'v'shachpecha u'v'kumecha u'kishartam li'ot al yadecha v'hayu l'totafot b'nei necha u'chetavtam al mezuzot b'techa u'v'isharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is his name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hands, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, upon your gates.
Amen. Amen, Brother Anthony.
Amen.
my good friend Ronnie Duncan would say. Amen. Brother Anthony, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What's next?
Two men.
Michamocha. I was giving Isaac instruction on this song on the way over here. Well, we have two handsome men out there, Ron and we have Jim. Would you like to carry the Torah today? Okay. Anthony?
I'll hold it. Okay.
Called Michamocha. It's from Exodus 15, and the answer to it is En Kamocha Ba'elim Adonai Ve'en Kamasecha Malchutcha Malchut Kol Olamim U'Mimsheltecha B'Chol Dor V'Dor Adonai Melech Adonai Malach Adonai Imloch Le'Olam Va'ed Adonai Oz Yamo Yitain Adonai Baruch Et Amo Ba'Shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
And your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns. The Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Amen. Amen.
Behold how good
la 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 la.
Hallelujah. Tahim gam yahad inemato inemato la 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 inemato inemato la 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 la. Vayehiben Soharon Vayomer Moshe Kuma Adonai Viafutsu Oivecha Vianusu Misanecha Mipanecha Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah Ki Mitzion Tetse Torah Udevar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Liamo Yisrael Bikdushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Okay. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavora.
Baruch Adonai Ham
Vera Va'ed. Baruch Adonai Rachilam Va'ed. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim V'natan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blesses the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. I think everyone's already seated. So today's Torah portion is Vayeshev, and it means that he continued living. And this is out of Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 40. So Jacob is going back to the promised land. You know, he, in the prior ones, he wrestled on the Temple Mount with an angelic heavenly being, and he ends up getting a new name, which is, he's no longer called Jacob, but now he's called Israel. And so he actually becomes the 12, he has the 12 sons that become the 12 tribes of Israel. So he has transformed himself. He's been gone about 37 years, and during this time he has had 13 children and 12 sons, one daughter, and his beloved Rachel has passed away, and she was buried near the town of Bethlehem. So he has the 12 tribes of Israel and in his family. And one of his sons, who was mother was Rachel, is Jacob. And Jacob was, at an early age, he became the favorite son. If you read the story, and about 17 years old, he got a coat of many colors, because Joseph, after all, was, God had his hand upon him. And so he became the heir apparent to this family that Jacob had of the 13 kids. But it's interesting to note that the genealogy begins with Joseph, if you read the Torah, not with Reuben, because Reuben was actually the firstborn. Joseph was born many sons later, but the genealogy begins with Joseph and not with Reuben. Because I believe the reason it did that was because Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. And that is who Jacob truly loved, was his wife Rachel, who passed away on their way back to the Promised Land. So he makes the coat of many colors, and it's very special. The coat means the heir of Israel. He was the heir apparent of Israel, because he's a shadow of Yeshua. If you study it close enough, you'll see that he is a shadow of the Messiah. And so Jacob gives him the job of overseeing his brothers, which sort of led to his downfall, to some speak. And, you know, and they become very jealous of Joseph. And their jealousy actually turns into hatred for him, because he is chosen above them. And with a family that big, everyone has it's like chickens in the yard. They all have a pecking order, as my grandmother would say. They have a pecking order. And if you watch them, they'll peck around, and you'll know that there's a pecking order. So it was like a pecking order all this big family. But the brothers, you know, he has these dreams, and he's telling them that they're going to bow down to him, and he's going to be like in charge of them, even though his dad's already given that responsibility. They really resent that, because they feel they're just as important as Joseph is. But he is a dreamer, and it plays into his life in a few years that he can interpret dreams. So the brothers are in Shechem, and they are moved on to Dothan. So Joseph is sent there by his father Jacob. And if you read the portion, you'll see that Jacob was a little bit surprised that Joseph, when he called to him, he said in Hinehi, which means I am here. But Hinehi has a deeper meaning. It means that I am ready for the sacrifice. And so it caught Jacob a little bit off guard that he used that term to respond to him, because I guess he had maybe in the back of his mind maybe a fear of the brothers as he was sending them to check on them. And so they see Joseph coming, and they plot to kill him. And instead of that, they decide they'll just put him in a pit and let him cool off there for a while and see how he likes it. So a band of Midianites came by, and so they sell Joseph to these traitors who are descendants of Ishmael. And so they have to do something to tell their dad. So they conceive this story of taking the coat, putting some goat blood on it, and they take it back to Jacob. And if you know the story, Jacob, of course, deceived his father with a skin. And so they take the coat of many colors back, and they put goat's blood on it, and they tell him that Joseph has been killed. And so Jacob is naturally very upset, because after all, he is the heir. He has the family that is the 12 tribes, and he has a son that has died. So now he only has 11 sons. So he must be pondering, how can I have the 12 when I've only got 11 and one has passed? But the parashah takes a turn, if you read it, and we see that Judah comes into the Torah portion here with his three sons, and we see the lineage of Yeshua. Actually, the lineage starts back with Lot when he has the children by his daughter, and we see the Edomites, and it leads on to Ruth, comes from the Moabites, who is in the lineage of Yeshua. So his two sons die. They have no children. So Tamar, who has married both the sons, wants to marry the youngest one, and Judah will not permit her to marry him. And so she conceals herself as a lady of the evening, or a prostitute, however you want to describe her. And so she has the children by Judah, and she tricks him. She has the twins, Zerah and Perez, and that's the direct lineage of Yeshua beginning to form when they're. And just to close this parashah this morning, I'll tell you about the five women. We talked a little about them this morning in the class. They're unusual. They were women that maybe wasn't the greatest in society. But you start with Tamar. You know, she was most likely a Midianite woman, and she had children by her father-in-law, which probably was not something that was a respectable position. And then you have Rahab, who came from that lineage, and she also was a Gentile. She saved the Israelites with the red string when they were battling in Jericho, and her family was spared. And she ends up marrying Solomon, and she has the son Boaz. And then we see that in that the Ruth comes through that connection, because she is a Moabite, and she goes back to Israel, and she stays there, and she ends up marrying Boaz. And they have a son named Obed, who is the grandfather of David. And then you see the wife of Uriah, which is Bathsheba. She ends up marrying David after he has her husband killed in battle. And they have a son named Solomon, who ends up building the temple, one of the wisest men, maybe the wisest person who ever lived. And from that, we see in that lineage that we come down to Joseph, and we sort of forget that Joseph the carpenter actually was in the lineage of kings and rulers. He was really a royal person, and we don't usually see that. We think him more as a poor person who was just, he worked in wood, but he was actually the lineage of kings and rulers. He was a kingship, and from that comes, he marries Miriam, and there we see that she gives birth to Yeshua. And so the lineage is complete. What was about these women? They were all very faithful to God, and they believed, and God rewarded them to be in that lineage. They may not have held a great position in society, but God always uses the people that maybe we think the least have the ability. That's who God uses. He likes to use people that don't think they can do anything. But when you let God do that through you, then you can truly exceed and do great things. Shabbat Shalom.
All rise for the closing of the Torah.
Test. Bezod haTorah asher samoshe lifnei bnei Israel al pi Adonai biyad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand. Amen. Please be seated. Etz Chaim hi lemachzikim ba v'tomcheha meushar derachheha acheinoam kol nativotecha shalom. Ashivenu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh Chadesh Yameinu Chadesh Yameinu Kedem. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all her ways
ways
of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to return to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I guess it's time for announcements. All right. Now, I have a... my mic shrank instantaneously. Let me see if I can raise... Can you raise that up a little bit? About 2-3 inches. Thank you. And if she can, if somebody could help her. You got it? Just got to tighten it up. Okay, we're going to move over here to announcements. And, okay, so Hanukkah begins tomorrow. Is it sundown tomorrow? Tomorrow at sundown is let's look here in the calendar so I get my head on straight. This is the biblical calendar. We have a few left if you'd like to order one. They have beautiful pictures of Israel.
I think we have four or five left. I'm holding two for one lady, and we just have a couple left. They have beautiful pictures from the Holy Land. This has all your biblical feasts in it. This has beautiful pictures from Israel and scripture verses. It has your regular Western months, January, February, March, April, May. And you can come, and it lines up. It's like an, what do you call those Bibles? Parallel. It's like a parallel calendar. Has the biblical calendar next to the Western calendar, and you can look at the Jewish holidays, the biblical holidays, and look at beautiful pictures of Israel for 16 months. And these are $15. If you send $4 for shipping, $19, we'll send it to you. We have a few left. And but anyway, so let's go to, so this month is, we're in November. In Spanish, that's noviembre. Can anybody say that, noviembre?
December 1st today, I believe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost track of my night. December 1st, that's right. Wow. Where does the time go? Okay, so today is Kislev 23. And tomorrow night at sundown begins Kislev 25. And right. Kislev is the 10th month in the biblical calendar, and it is the beginning of the day of the Feast of Dedication, which if you look in John 10:22 is Hanukkah. John 10:22 says Jesus was in the temple and it was the Feast of Dedication. He was in Solomon's portico, and the Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. Hanukkah means dedication. We're going to talk about that today, and we're going to talk about the Hanukkah and the bridegroom and Yeshua. And God's given me, I believe, a neat word today, a revelation. And so Hanukkah begins tomorrow night. So I want to announce that next Friday night, put it on your calendars if you have nothing to do, or if you want to do something that's really worthwhile, come here to our Yehuda, Lion of Judah Messianic Congregation. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to join. You're welcome to come in. We don't bite. We nibble. We do nibble, but we don't bite. We're going to have refreshments, and I'm going to teach on Hanukkah. I'm going to teach this morning about Hanukkah, too, but I'm going to teach more next week, okay? So it's our community service. Please invite your friends to come. Invite your neighbors. Invite your friends, folks here, and to come to our service. We have flyers downstairs. Maybe one of the boys, Josh, would you go downstairs and get the flyers and bring them up for folks to give to their friends? And they're right down on a table downstairs. So it's next Friday night, the 7th. We're having our community Hanukkah service. I invite you to come and celebrate the sixth day of Hanukkah with us. There's 8 days of Hanukkah. And come celebrate with us and learn about Hanukkah, the winter holiday that Jesus celebrated. The only winter holiday that Jesus celebrated. Amen. Come learn why. Come find out. Amen. Bring your friends. Get out of your box. Amen. That's why we're here. Praise the Lord. All right. That's my Hanukkah message. My Hanukkah appeal. My Hanukkah appeal. Come to service. If you'd like to be on our mailing list, you can go to our website, www.forzionsake.org. www.forzionsake.org. forzionsake.org. You can sign up for our newsletter. I send out a teaching newsletter. 99% of the time, our newsletter is meat. It's lots of meat. It isn't an appeal. It's most ministries that I see send letters saying, "Give me money, give me money, give me money." You know, there's poor people in Russia. Give me money, give me money. We send out teaching. I don't even know why I call it a newsletter. It's a teaching letter. Amen? And very rarely do I make an appeal. But I am going to make an appeal today that you would support this ministry, because we do a lot of good work. We have raised millions of dollars for the poor in Israel. Those of you who know us, if you've been following us, if you've been to our banquets, you know we've raised a lot of money for the poor. We've helped build the largest humanitarian aid ministry in Israel, the Joseph Project. In fact, I won't even go into details. We've just raised millions of dollars, and we don't keep a nickel of it. for ourselves, okay? That's why we're on the other side. We're on the poor side of town. Okay? But that's okay. Jesus went to the poor side of town, right? Amen? Wasn't there a song about the poor side of town? A guy who was from the poor side of town, you know, he was all the, back in the 60s, I forget. Johnny Rivers? Yeah, I remember that song about the poor side of town. I felt bad for that guy. Poor guy. Anyway, but we need your support. And this is a great time. If you want to support the Jewish people and you want to support Israel, there was a Roman centurion in Luke chapter 7, and he built a little synagogue in a small fishing village about 100 miles north of Jerusalem. And just a little, he built a synagogue for the Jews, if you go look in Luke chapter 7. And if he didn't build the synagogue, what would have happened to that Jewish community? They needed that Roman centurion, that Gentile, that wealthy Gentile benefactor to help build their synagogue. Amen? They needed him. And if he didn't build it, what would have happened to that little fishing village? Would they have had to move to another village? Would they have had to go where there's another where there's a synagogue in another village? Maybe they would. And that is the village where our Lord healed his Peter's mother-in-law from a fever. That's where the woman with the issue of blood grabbed hold of his fringes, of the hem of his garment, and she got healed from a 12-year hemorrhage. Amen? And many, many healings took place in that town. But the Roman centurion built the synagogue. And you know what? There, Yeshua said, when non-Jews would come to him for healing, he would say, "I've come for the lost sheep from the house of Israel." He really didn't kind of push him away. He even said to one woman, he said, "It's not fitting to give the food from the master's table to the dogs." And she said, "Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs from under the master's table." Amen. That's a tough word he gave her, right? But when this Roman centurion, when the leaders of the synagogue came to Jesus, and they said to him, they said, "Master, Rabbi," they said, "this man built our synagogue because he loved our people, our nation." Didn't say he loved our God. Didn't say he loved the Messiah, even though he did. He said he loved our people and our nation. And you know what? Yeshua made such a quick, he was going to go to that guy's house. He was on his way. Before you could say boo, he was on his way to that man's house. And that Roman centurion said, "Lord, no, stop. Don't go to my house. I'm not worthy to have you. Just say the word and it'll be done. Just say the word." And you know what? When the centurion went home, and at that very hour he found out that the same moment he was talking to Yeshua, his servant was healed. And Yeshua was willing to go to his house. That was amazing. Just amazing, because he didn't do that. Yeshua never went into the homes of non-Jews, and you don't see it. You don't see him going into the home of a non-Jewish person ever in the New Testament. Do you know why? Because it was broken the law, and he couldn't break the law. He had to keep it perfectly. And so part of the Torah is not to go into an unclean place like that. And that's what it would be considered in under the Torah. So he had to keep it perfectly. But when he died, there was a change in the law, in the Torah. And then God opened it up to the Gentiles. Oh gosh, I could preach. But I'm not going to. What I am going to ask you to do is consider giving to this ministry. This ministry, if you've been blessed by For Zion's Sake Ministries, I'm going to ask you to support it. There's a donate button on the website you're watching, and you can just click on PayPal. If you want a receipt, send us your email, because all we get is your name and what you gave. We don't get any other information about you. You can also give by credit card. There's two ways to give online. And please support. If you're giving this holiday season, please support, just like the Roman centurion, the little country synagogue in the fishing village called Bristol, near the lake. Amen? God bless you. And come to our service next Friday night and learn about Hanukkah. Learn about why Jesus celebrated Hanukkah in the winter. Learn about why it's so important to him. We're going to teach you about that today. Stick with me. I'm going to teach today as well, but God always gives me new stuff, so next week will be different than this week, but I'm going to give you a foundation today. So anyway, do we have any other announcements? Keep Maria in your prayers. Her mother, I don't think she had a stroke, but they brought her home, and they're watching her, and I don't really understand. I just heard Anthony sent me a text that said she was in the hospital. Then he said she's not in the hospital, and she's home, and they're just watching her to make sure she doesn't have a stroke. And I really don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what's going on. Pray for Maria and Wendell. And Anthony, would you come up and pray for Maria and Wendell and for the mother-in-law? Because you got the word, and I'm going to let you pray.
Trying to get the gate open ready, too. So it was...
All right. Mr. Anthony.
Ron, I think you had a relative. Jeff Gilmer.
Ron's cousin Jeff Gilmer had a heart attack this morning. He's stable, but we want to pray for him too. So I'll join you.
And Father, we just pray for these needs this morning, Lord, for Maria, her mom, Lord, and we pray for Ron's relative, Lord, that had the heart attack. Lord, we just pray that you will heal their heart, Lord, and may they know you as their personal Messiah today, Lord. That would be the true healing of the heart today, Lord. We just pray that you will bless them, bless others, Lord, that or have needs this morning, Lord, that are lost and on the road to destruction. Lord, we pray for them, Lord, because sin truly is an illness, Lord, that only Yeshua's blood can heal today. So we ask your direct anointing upon these two folks that are sick today, Lord, that you will heal them and make them whole. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Anthony. Appreciate that. Okay. Well, any other announcements? I have a praise report. Pastor Michael Booker from Covenant Fellowship Church of God that started preaching here 16 years ago. He started his church here. Well, actually, somebody else started it. He took over. But they began here, and they've moved twice. But I met him through somebody else, a friend of mine, Scott Emmerine, introduced me to him and said that they help people, churches. They help, ministries who have need. Our fellowship hall was destroyed by floods in August. We haven't been able to use it since the end of August or early September. And Thursday, Pastor Michael Booker came with his father, his father-in-law, and another man, and they rebuilt the wall in our fellowship hall that had been torn out in order to patch up the leaks where the leaks were coming through the wall. And they rebuilt the wall. We've put in drains. We've spent thousands of dollars to put in drains outside, French drains. We've put in dry lock and all kinds of sealants on the block wall, and we've sealed it. And we've had not a drop of water, and now we have walls. Now they're not finished. They're just sheetrock put up, and it's got to be. I guess they put some stuff over it. They pack it and then they sand it. So they're not quite done. And I left the heat on to dry it out. So somebody turned the heat off, and I had left it on for a couple of days to dry out the walls. So if it was turned off, whoever turned the heat off, if you turned it off a couple of days ago, we'll probably need to turn it back on. I'm not sure how long when it was turned off, but we'll get to that later. I don't want to talk about it now. But anyway, so it was left on to dry out those walls, okay? But so they did it for us. And I tell you, a lot of people tell me, they say, Rabbi Joe, I love the Jewish people. love is an action. How do you love the Jewish people? We are the Jewish people that believe in Jesus in this area. We're the ones, who are living it. We're the ones. You're the ones. You're the ones. We're the ones here. We're the ones living a Jewish life and believing in the Messiah. Amen? So I said to this man, I thanked him. I said, you know, Pastor Michael, I said, a lot of people say to me, they say, Rabbi Joe, I love the Jews. And I often say, how do you love them? And I thanked this man. I said, because you put teeth to your love. You put traction. You did something. You really, you know, he did it for free. They came and they worked, and they're going to come back and finish that wall. And I was just so blessed. All right, let's take up our offering, our tithes and our offerings today. And may God bless you as you give. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these tithes and offerings. Thank you for the folks watching that support this ministry in this holiday season, Christmas and Hanukkah. Lord, that you would bless them and bless the folks here. Bless the giver and bless the gift a hundredfold. In Yeshua's name, thank you, Lord, that you meet all the needs that we have. And we thank you and we praise you. In your name, amen. Do we have an offertory?
Up indoors forever. Thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. He is good, he is good, and his love will forever endure. We'll bless your name as we all proclaim that his love endures forever.
Boom, boom.
The moon and the stars at night, and his love endures forever. With outstretched arms and by his might, and his love endures forever. Adonai, Adonai, Baruch Hashem, Adonai, Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Yeshua Teinu.
Before your God, come.
just rise and let the Lord minister to us today. Just put your arms up to Him.
Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. Every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come.
Hallelujah.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We'll wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
God,
you reign forever. Oh, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. Everlasting God, you do not faint, you won't grow weary. The defender of the weak, you comfort those.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Get you up on the high mountain side, herald the tidings, lift your voice and
your voice and fear not. Get you up on a high mountain Zion, herald of good tidings, lift your voice and fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, and fear not.
Get you up on the mountain. Behold your God's God. Behold your God's God. Behold your God.
Yeshua, the Lamb of God, we adore.
art thou, who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord. Art thou alone, art holy thou,
the Lord.
All the nations come and worship thee, for thy glory shall be
revealed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Abundant righteousness. to his word. The God of Abraham, he is the living God. He is the saving God, and I will praise him. He has given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful to his word. I will praise him, for he has given me abundant righteousness, and he is faithful to his word.
Amen. Cannot hear your voice. Hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith. Come on, lift your hands. I am
me with you. Show me love in so many ways. Oh, I'd love to be with you. I need to be with you. You have considered me.
You are
glorious, O God, glorious, O God, awesome.
You shall ever be.
It's hard to follow my invisible wife. Great job, honey. Let's give it up for Dawn Bell. Ladies and gentlemen, the lovely Dawn Bell.
Yeshua, Mashiach Adonai. My heart has turned. To your land,
my future
is in Zion.
Eternity is in my heart.
La 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 la. And following an invisible wife, it's like following an invisible God. You have to kind of wait. Bible says wait a lot of times.
You have to follow his lead, but you can't get ahead of him. And see, if we go too quickly, we get ahead of him. So we got to kind of, like, let's say he's sitting there, and I'm playing, and let's see what he's doing next. I got to kind of wait a little bit, just a second, you know, for the music. But in life, we have to wait sometimes days, months, weeks, even sometimes years for the Lord to answer our prayers, our cries, our desires, our visions, our dreams. He gives you dreams and visions, and sometimes they don't come to pass for years. He told me my family would get saved. The day of my baptism, my mikvah in Hebrew, when I was baptized or immersed in 1996, a woman came up to me at the swimming pool. I was at a conference, and she said to me, and I was about 125 people or so standing around the pool, and about 50 people getting in the pool, getting dunked. And this woman came up to me and said to me, I never met her in my life, she said, your whole family's going to be saved. And I said, I thought about it, and I said, well, she must be from God, because how does she know my family isn't already saved? She just had a word for me that your whole family's going to be saved. And I've been asking the Lord through the years, does that mean just my brothers and sisters and my mother and my father and their children? Or does it mean my cousins? And I've been praying for them all on and off. It's hard to pray for so many lost people. I have a huge lost family. So I focus mostly on praying for mom and my brothers and sisters, and I pray for my cousins as I can, you know. But I've been praying for 22 years, and the only one I've seen come to the Lord is my dad on his deathbed. And that's the only, you know, the only fruit I've seen. The Lord said to me, he said, they're all going to come. He did give me a word. He said, they're all going to come. That woman said it. She said, your whole family's going to get saved. It's going to take a long time, and it's not going to be easy. And boy, were those words true. I'll just say that. It's not been easy. All right. We're going to go to the Lord's table. If you're watching on video and if you're watching on live stream, if you would like to go to the Lord's table with us, communion, we call it in Hebrew, the Shulchan Adonai, the table of the Lord. Just grab yourself some matzah or crackers, wheat thins. I went to a little get together last night. They had some lovely crackers, wheat thins. They had Triscuits. They had some kind of rice crackers. I mean, anything, whatever you have. Breton, those are nice crackers. If you have some matzah or even bread, if you have some Welch's, grape juice, Carmel, Manischewitz, get yourself ready, and we're going to go to the Lord's table. All right. Okay. Hallelujah. And then the sermon's coming up. God's given me a great word today on the altar and the marriage and Hanukkah. Hanukkah and the marriage and Yeshua, and why Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. So stay with us. But Deborah, would you like to serve today? Okay. And Sharon, would you like to come and serve today? Come on up. Come on. Come on down. You're the next contestant on Rabbi Joe's Shulchan Adonai. All right. On the night he was betrayed, Yeshua took the cup. It was Passover night, and he took the third cup of the Passover meal, we call the cup of redemption. And he said, "This." He blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen, amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine, amen. On that same Passover night, Yeshua took the bread. There's three pieces of matzah, unleavened bread, on every Passover table that are not really eaten, except one piece in the middle.
of the three pieces is taken out. It's revealed. It's all the rest are hidden, but the middle layer is revealed, and then it's taken out and it's broken into small pieces, which are given to each person. And we call it the afikomen, or in Greek it's the afikomen, and it means that which comes later. And we don't eat it early. We eat it after the dinner, after the supper. We eat the afikomen. Anyway, whatever you want to call it. But Yeshua said something different. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Nobody had ever said that before. Nobody had ever taken the afikomen and said, "This is my body." That would be like Joe Bell taking the cup of Elijah. You know, nobody drinks the cup of Elijah. That would be like me taking the cup of Elijah and drinking it, you know, saying, you know, "This is the cup of Elijah," which nobody drinks, and then drinking it. You know, that'd be pretty wild, wouldn't it? That's what he did. He kind of freaked him out. He said, "This is my body." But it wasn't really his body, because he was just saying, "This represents my body. This is symbolic. This is what I'm going to do for you. Picture this as my body, broken in pieces, crushed." Not really. He wasn't broken in pieces, but he was crushed. He was bruised for our iniquities. Amen. Our sins were laid upon him. He took our sin, and he gave us eternal life. If we believe, if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Yeshua is Lord, then we will be saved. A lot of people don't believe in sinners' prayers, but I do, and I'll tell you why. Because it says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord, then we will be saved. So you must confess with your mouth. The great way to confess is to pray and say, "Lord God, I believe that Yeshua, that Jesus is Lord." That's confessing. That's part of the process of believing. Amen? So I believe in sinners' prayers. A lot of people are hostile. Even past pastors are against them, and people don't believe. But it doesn't matter if it's a prayer, how you confess it. Speak it. So I use the prayer. So let's bow our heads for a moment. And if you're watching, and if you're here today, if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Messiah, if you're watching today and you don't know the Messiah personally, you've never met the Messiah, just say, wherever you are watching today, just say, "Rabbi, I haven't met the Messiah." Okay? All right, so just if that's you speaking to you, I want you to pray with me right where you are. Just pray this prayer, and everybody in the room here, let's all pray together. Dear God, I haven't met the Messiah, and I'd like to meet him. So, God, introduce me to your Son. Send him into my life. Open my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh. That's Holy Spirit in Hebrew. Cleanse me. Wash me. Forgive me. Because I've messed up. I've broken your laws. I've been selfish. I've been prideful. I may have told a little lie here or there. I may have dishonored my parents. I may have coveted my neighbor's Porsche or his pretty wife. I've broken your laws. So forgive me, God. I'm a sinner. And your standard is perfection. I need to be saved. Thank you, God. Write my name in your book of life and save me now. In Yeshua's name, amen. You know, it's not the words that you said. It's really what you meant in your heart by praying that prayer. And that's the most important thing. If you contact me, if you prayed that prayer today and you contact me, I have a special gift for you. Just get email me. Our website has our contact information. Call our office, and I'll get in touch with you. Okay? May God bless you. And folks, come as you're ready.
It's always good. I always tell people, keep a short list with God. Come into the Lord's table is a good time to confess your sins and get right with God. If you have something in your life, you know, that's not right with God, this is a good time to confess and come take the bread and the juice. Shalom. God bless you as you come. Glorious. Thank you, ladies. Okay. We say, in Jewish, we say, L'chaim, to life, be Yeshua, in Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. L'chaim, be Yeshua. Thank you. Can I go to my headset, or is that going to be... Let's not do that. Okay, turn it on. Okay, it's not turned on. Okay. Can you turn it on, honey? Yours says on and off. Is it on? Okay. Test 1, 2, buckle my shoe. Test 3, 4, shut the door. Test 5, 6, pick up sticks. Okay, we got it working. Thank you. All right. I can't see it, so I have to have faith that it's already on when it's on my belt. Praise the Lord. I walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right. Well, if you, I'm a little bit boomy, but I like the volume. You can turn me down a hair if it's too boomy. Shabbat Shalom! Praise the Lord! God is my strength and my portion forever. He's the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen? Amen. You can. Am I loud enough out there? You can turn me up a hair more. A hair. What's a hair? A hair. That's good. Is that too boomy? That's good, right? Yeah, it's all right. A little boom. A little boom won't hurt anybody. You know, a hare is a rabbit. And a Vance, you know what a Vance is? There's a middle school in Bristol called Vance. And Jewish, Vance is a cockroach. So it's true. Vance in Jewish is a cockroach. So they named a middle school. They made a middle school called the Cockroach Middle School. But my sons went there. So one goes and the other one went. So even though they named it, I know what it means. We still use it. Praise the Lord. That's my humor for today. That's my Yiddish lesson. We have Hanukkah candles for those who want to celebrate Hanukkah. I just want to let you know we have Hanukkah candles. We have beautiful long ones. I told y'all if you come there for folks who come, they're 15% off right now. You can get, if you want to celebrate Hanukkah, if you have a Hanukkiah. If you don't have a Hanukkiah, you don't have to have. This is one. See in front of me here. This is a Hanukkiah. Everybody say Hanukkiah. A Hanukkiah, and so that is the menorah, or a menorah is a lampstand. Hanukkiah is the Hanukkah lampstand. And so if you have one, these are usually the candles that, these are the standard ones that fit in it. These are the, you know, for the folks that like to have real pretty ones. These are real nice, and they're 15% off. And these are beautiful candles. Anyway, so we have candles here downstairs. You can get them for the holiday. We also have a great book if you want to learn about Hanukkah and celebrate. I found these next door. It's called Dedicate and Celebrate. It's a little book. It's not very expensive. If you want to order it, you can order it. They're $7. It's just about $3, $2.50 for shipping, so about $9.50. And we'll ship it to you. And Dedicate and Celebrate. It tells the Hanukkah story, tells you how to celebrate Hanukkah, gives you recipes, songs. What more could you ask for? I mean, it's all in here, you know? It's like the Craftmatic adjustable bed. There's nothing it doesn't do for you. You can even talk to it. Amen? Are we on Facebook? In a couple seconds. All right. Well, Shalom Facebook. As I was saying, we have we're going to talk about Hanukkah today. We have books called Dedicate and Celebrate. If you'd like to learn about Hanukkah, you can order them from our ministry by going to our website, contacting us. They're $7. We plus shipping. You can call our office, and we'll send them to you. I have them here available today for folks that want to go home and learn and celebrate Hanukkah. After this message, you might want to do it. I also have my message from 2014, Hanukkah Celebration, which you can get here. So we have teaching materials. We have newsletters. You can go online to our website. You can read about Hanukkah at our websites. There's all sorts of resources available for you. Okay, so shalom, folks on Facebook. Welcome. We're glad you're with us today. Today's message is about Hanukkah and the bridegroom. And we know who is the bridegroom. Yeshua. Jesus. Yeshua. He is the bridegroom. And today's message is about the marriage of Yeshua and his bride and what it has to do with Hanukkah. Amen? Is that cool or what? I think that's pretty cool. Now, I want to ask you a question before I get into the meat of the message. I want you to think about something. Okay, where does a Christian wedding take place? This is not a trick question. In a church. Very good. Jim gets the... What we need a prize. We need a gold star. Give Jim the gold star. The golden banana award. I don't know. Have to get a golden banana. All right. So a Christian wedding takes place in a church. And where does the bride meet her husband, her groom, her fiance, her betrothed, her beloved? Where does she meet him when to get married in the church? At the altar. And what is she wearing usually? White gown, right? Amen. Okay. Now, in a Messianic Jewish synagogue, where does a wedding usually take place? In the Messianic Jewish synagogue, right? And for Diane, who's not in the room right now, it was in the bagel shop. Because that's where we used to meet when we had her wedding. Was in the bagel shop. But the Messianic Jewish weddings take place in the Messianic synagogue. So now here's a question for you. Where will Yeshua, Jesus, where will his wedding take place? In the Vatican? Westminster Abbey? In the air? You think? Well, I have some thoughts about that. And I think it's going to take place at an altar, just like your wedding, anybody who's been married. I think it's going to place in a temple. I think it's going to take place with a priest, a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And I think that we're going to get to it. I'm going to tell you why I believe this. Okay, so turn to John 10:22. And this is not... This is to show you, this is not a Christmas message today. This is a Hanukkah message, but this is a Jesus message. And this is to show you, how far off Christianity and Messianic Judaism are. It's like one went one direction, one went the other. Now, let me just start out by saying this. God loves the church. God loves Christians, true Christians. He loves all people, but he loves his bride. He loves his body. Amen. We are the body of Messiah. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, we are the body of Messiah. Amen. He loves Jews. He loves Gentiles. There's no distinction. He loves us all. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't all behave as well as others. Some, he loves God. You ever heard the song, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Now, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen? Right? He loves them all. But are they all well-behaved? Are some naughty? Are some nice? They're not all the same, are they? But he loves them all. And he loves you. He loves us all too. Amen? So I believe in the church. I want to tell you that. I believe that the church is valid. I believe the time of the Gentiles is valid. I believe in that Christianity is a legitimate, valid faith, even though it's splintered and broken into millions of denominations, and there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of different theologies and beliefs out there. I do believe the core belief that the gospel says that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Son of God. He died for our sins. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead. And if you believe in that, if you really truly believe that we have that commonality, amen? We have that common belief among us. Whether we believe that you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus or baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, whether you believe that you're saved by speaking in tongues or saved or you're not saved by speaking in tongues, whether you believe that you're not saved if you don't believe in a rapture, or whether you believe that you're saved if you believe in a rapture, whatever you believe, in my book, as long as you believe in the gospel, you're saved. Okay? And the folks who tell me I'm not saved because I don't believe this or I don't believe that, that's not what my Bible says. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's look in John 10:22. God, I just pray for this word today. Open our ears and our eyes. Anoint me. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see truth from your word. And I just ask your blessing and guidance. Lead me down the path in this message right now in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Lead me and guide me, let us not leave here the way we came in. Let's be transformed by the renewing of our minds and bind the enemy in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right, John 10:22. At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Yeshua answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe the works that I do in my Father's name. They testify of me." All right, I'm going to stop there for a second. All right, so Yeshua was in the temple in wintertime. Okay, if you step outside, or not even today, today's warm. Yesterday was cold and rainy, okay? Yesterday was a perfect late November, December day in Israel. Yesterday was a perfect late November day in Israel. Cold, rainy, to the bone, chill to the bone. Okay? You could feel your bones, your knees, your elbows, whatever it is, whatever joints, wherever you might have pain. Yesterday was a day to feel it, wasn't it? So was the day before, right? Amen. Good preaching, Rabbi. Okay. So he walked some 80 miles, give or take, from Galilee to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Dedication. Now, how many of you folks watching know what the Feast of the Dedication is? Well, I'm going to tell you. In Hebrew, it's Hanukkah. Okay? It's Hanukkah. Hanukkah means dedication. So people read over this chapter and they read through it and they just skip right on by that Jesus was walking 80 miles. That's like walking from here to Morristown in cold weather, and whether it's rain or not, it was cold. Everybody say it was cold. It's cold. I was in Israel 2 years ago at this time, and I have been fighting leukemia, and I baptized in the Jordan River, and I couldn't go in the Jordan River to baptize the people. I had a Pastor Coy with me and my wife, and they went down in the water because the water was cold. Right, Miss Aja, did you go in that water? Was that water cold? Wasn't too bad. Just a little cold. Just a little bit. She's tough, man. This woman's tough as nails. But I'm going to tell you something. I was cold standing there as the people testified before they dunked, but I didn't go in the water because I did that once in January or December with my son, and I got bronchitis. And he got bronchitis when I baptized Isaac in the Jordan River. So I learned not to go in the water in the wintertime. Okay? All right. So why was I telling you that? Praise the Lord. Oh, so anyway, it's cold in Israel. That's my point. It's cold there now, just like it is here. Okay? Unless you go down into the real desert. Okay? So Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. Get that in your spirit. Say that over and over again. Jesus' winter holiday was Hanukkah. All right, with all due respect to my Christian friends, I'm not here to teach about the pagan origins of Christmas. Most people know, and I'm sorry if I'm raining on your parade, that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. And if you didn't know that, you just learned something. Okay? The fact is, it was imported. Did you know that Christmas was imported to Israel in the 4th century? In the 4th century, Christmas was imported to the Holy Land in the 4th century. Helena, the mother of Constantine, created a holiday and brought it to the Holy Land. The first Christmas was celebrated in Bethlehem in the 4th century, some 300 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. How do you like that? Why? Why didn't they celebrate Christmas on December 25th? Is it possible that it wasn't Jesus' birthday? Well, I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but about birthdays and Jews and stuff. But if you want to know about the origins of Christmas, you can read my previous newsletters by going on my website, www.forzionsake.org. You can go to newsletters and you can look up previous newsletters on Hanukkah and Christmas and Hanukkah, and they teach about it. But I'm not going to get into it today. I just want to know. But here, if you want to, there are some things you can look up, though. Saturnalia. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Saturnalia was a holiday that the Greeks celebrated, and Mithraism, 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 Mithraism. Odin, he's where Santa Claus comes from. Odin, O-D-I-N. Look up pictures of Odin. You can Google them on Google Images. You'll see the resemblance to Santa Claus, although he's much more tough looking. He's a tough Santa. He's a Santa you'd meet in, like, you know, South Philadelphia. Okay? And, look up Yule, not Yule Brenner, but Yuletide, Yule, and find out that Yule was a pagan god. The Yuletide spirit has nothing to do with the Messiah or the Savior. Look up Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z, or Zeus, the birth of Zeus. All these things, Tammuz, the birth of Tammuz. You want to learn about the origins of Christmas. This is why true Christians have to say Jesus is the reason for the season. I see all these stickers on cars out there now, and I see them on Facebook. Jesus is the reason for the season. And I've asked the question on Facebook in a nice way. I'm not arguing with people, but I'm just saying, pointing out, Why do people have to defend Christmas if it's the truth? If there's no other reason for it, or if it wasn't somebody else's birthday. Maybe it is somebody else's birthday. I'm going to make you do your homework and find that one out. All right. But I'm here today to talk about Hanukkah, the Feast of Dedication, which Jesus celebrated. So if you're like Jesus and you want to learn what he did, follow me. I believe Yeshua not only celebrated Hanukkah, I believe he's passionate about it more than one would imagine. I believe he's so passionate about Hanukkah. I believe this is probably one of the most important holidays in the Bible to him. And by the time you leave here today, you're going to know why Hanukkah is so important to him. Hanukkah is about cleansing, repairing, and rededicating God's temple and his holy altar. Hanukkah is about cleansing, repairing, and rededicating God's temple and holy altar. 3 years after the Greeks captured it and desecrated it, the temple and the altar, let me read some of the story of Hanukkah to you. Hanukkah is the celebration of the Jewish victory over the Syrian Greeks in 165 BC. Israel was ruled by the infamously cruel Antiochus Epiphanes, who began to force the Jewish people to worship. He was the king. He was one of the descendants of the four generals that took over Alexander the Great's empire. He was he lived in Syria, and he ruled all the way down through Israel and other parts of, like, maybe, like, I don't know, Turkey. He ruled up in that area, Syria, Turkey, and he ruled, and his border of his empire was Egypt, and he was always fighting with the Egyptians. Israel was just kind of like, you know, didn't matter much to him, really, for most of his you know, it was Israel was a crossroads. It was a highway. Okay? So Antiochus Epiphanes, which means Antiochus, the manifestation of God is what it means, Epiphanes. He called himself Antiochus Epiphanes. He believed he was a god. He began to force the Jewish people to worship idols of Zeus and to eat pork, a meat that was forbidden under the law of Moses. Furthermore, Antiochus banned the Bible. He banned weekly Shabbat now and worship. He banned circumcision. He banned reading of the Bible. He took away people's Bibles. Jews met in secret. They had to meet, and sometimes at the penalty of death, in order to practice Sabbath or any do what we're doing. To do what we're doing. And this is where we're heading in America today. The world is heading to a time when people are going to have to meet underground if they're going to worship Yeshua, because the world hates Jesus. The majority of the world is against Christianity, and the majority of the world is there's over a billion Muslims. Far more than evangelical Christians, far more Muslims, far more Catholics, far more Hindus and folks from other religions than there are actual true believing Christians in the world. It's kind of sad to see that, but it's true. Okay, so let's go on here. So this guy Antiochus, he went down to Egypt. And he got in a fight with the Egyptians. He wanted to conquer Egypt. And the Egyptians called their buddies the Romans. And the Romans showed up with armies. And they told Antiochus, back off, buddy. They said, don't mess with these Egyptians. They're friends of ours. And basically Antiochus left with his tail between his legs. And he came back to Jerusalem, stopped for a while. And Jerusalem decided he was a bully, and they'd pick on the Jews. So he stopped in Jerusalem, and a place he had never really done much of anything. He had never bothered the Jews until all of a sudden he was kind of kicked out of Egypt and humiliated. So he decided he was going to humiliate the Jews. And so he set up an altar in the temple of the Jews. He desecrated it. He stopped all the worship of the God of Israel. He sacrificed a pig, which was unclean according to the laws of Moses. And he made the Jews bow down and worship an idol, an image of Zeus, but it was made to look like him. And he made the Jews bow down in the temple. Not only that, he sent bands of his soldiers from town to town, and he would find some Jewish guy who didn't want to get his head cut off, usually a priest, a local priest, and he would make the guy sacrifice a pig, and then he'd make the people eat the pig or kill them. That was the deal. Worship Zeus. That he'd bring an idol to each town. He'd make the people. So let's read on here. And so furthermore, Antiochus banned the Bible. He banned weekly Sabbath. He banned circumcision, Judaism, and attempted to paganize and assimilate the Jewish people into Greek culture and religion known as Hellenism. Had he succeeded, there would have been, and that's what's happening in this country. They are trying to assimilate you into a form of globalism, of one worldism, where everybody is, you know, they're trying to do away with traditional marriage. They're trying to do away with with the Bible. They're trying to do away with your constitutional rights, with nations. You know, the president says he's a nationalist. That doesn't mean he's a Nazi. The Nazis were national socialists. The people who call the president a Nazi forget that the word socialism was in the word Nazi, and they're socialists. In fact, Bernie Sanders, who's actually not even on the far left anymore, there's people much farther left than Bernie Sanders. He was a card-carrying communist when I was the senior political staff writer for the University of Vermont Cynic newspaper, for the college newspaper in the University of Vermont. I was the senior political writer. You can go to the archives in the library of the University of Vermont and read my articles on Bernie Sanders, because I interviewed him several times. I interviewed Howard Dean, who was the lieutenant governor, Madeline Cunin, the governor of Vermont. I knew the politicians in Vermont. I was a Democrat in 1987, and Bernie Sanders was a card-carrying communist, and the people that followed him were radical. When the CIA showed up to interview these radical people who followed Bernie Sanders, took balloons with pig's blood and threw them at the CIA, and they threw those balloons with pig's blood at students, not me, but other students who went to interview with the CIA. They were anarchists. Bernie Sanders later went on and became an independent, because you couldn't be a communist. It's illegal. It was illegal. I don't know if it still is. To be a communist, and there's no the Communist Party's not allowed to run for office in this United States, in high office like Congress. So he became an independent. After years and years of being an independent in the Congress, he became a democratic socialist. A democratic socialist. That's the new thing now. They call themselves democratic socialists. The alt-left are not socialists. They're communists. They're communists. They want to consolidate the wealth and the power among a few privileged people, a small group of privileged people. We'll get the wealth. The rest of the masses will get in bread lines and milk lines and do as you're told. That's where this country's heading. That's what happened to the Jews. They assimilated into the culture of Antiochus Epiphanes, the Greek. They assimilated into his culture, and all their traditions, all their mores, all their values, their law, their code, their ethics, their book, their everything they believed in was stripped, taken away. That's what we're heading for. History is repeating itself. Okay, let's go on. So, why is that important, what he did? Had he succeeded in erasing Judaism, there would have been no babe in a manger. There would have been no Mary and Joseph, no little town of Bethlehem, no New Testament, and no Jesus. Had he succeeded in erasing the Jews and assimilating us into Greek culture completely, had he won and destroyed the temple, there would have been no place for Joseph and Mary to take the baby Jesus to dedicate him and meet Simeon, the man who said he would die when he saw the Messiah, and Anna the prophetess, who prophesied over Yeshua, the baby Yeshua. Amen? None of it would have happened without Hanukkah, without the Hanukkah story. I'm going to tell you the Hanukkah story. Okay, so let's go on. So, nevertheless, God raised up a Jewish deliverer. So I'm going to say it again. Had Antiochus succeeded in destroying the Jews and Judaism, as history has always tried to do, Hitler, the Romans tried to do it, Hitler tried to do it, nations throughout history have tried to do it, and they've all failed. They've all failed. Had he succeeded, there would have been no babe in a manger, no Mary and Joseph, no little town of Bethlehem, no New Testament, and no Jesus, and no Christmas. Nevertheless, God raised up a Jewish deliverer at that time, and a man named Judah Maccabee. Judah led a militia of farmers, shepherds, and workmen who fought the mighty Syrian army. After 3 years, from 168 BC to 165, the Maccabees, Maccabee meant hammer. That wasn't their last name. It was his nickname, Judah the Hammer. He was a big, strong guy. Judah Maccabee was a tough guy. Amen? Everybody say Judah was a tough guy. And he lived in a town called Modin. Modine. Remember Jethro Clampett from, you know, Jethro Clampett? He was a tough guy, too. Well, I think his name was Jethro Bodine. But this guy was Judah from Modine. Judah from Modine. So these Syrian soldiers showed up in Modine, which is still a town today, and they pulled out their idol, and they got some wimpy guy who was willing to, you know, sacrifice a pig, which was unclean, and the Maccabees rose up against the Syrians, and they killed them. And then they called a militia of people and said, we're going to fight back. And they went up in the woods in the Judean hills, and they got their swords, and they gathered together, and they pulled together a militia. Now, you're talking, let's say the Russians, let's say, God forbid, let's say the Chinese, who outnumber us, there's over, how many billion, 1 or 2 billion Chinese people? Almost 2 billion people in China, over, well, 1.6 billion. There's only 300 million Americans. Let's say the Chinese could invade America, okay? And let's say they did. And let's say we couldn't stop them, all right? It would be like raising up a militia to fight the Chinese invading America. That's what we're talking about here. The mighty Greek army had invaded Israel, and this little band of Nebuchadnezzar Jews, you know, this militia of Jewish guys, who, we don't think of Woody Allen, you don't think of Jerry Seinfeld, you know, as tough guys, do you? But there's some pretty tough Jewish guys out there, let me tell you. There really are. You wouldn't want to mess with the Mossad. You wouldn't want to mess with the IDF. The Arab nations, they're terrified of the IDF. That's why they don't start wars with them. And Israel's one tough country. And I wouldn't want to mess. I wouldn't mess with most Israeli women. I went two years ago when I was in Israel, I was taken to an Air Force base. And I was taken on such a zigzag ride, I didn't know where I went. I don't know where I was. I just know I went down all these country roads, just kind of like driving through Unicoi County or out there in, what's that town? Way out there, Irwin and Unicoi and Jonesboro, yeah, that area out there, you know, on the way to Greenville. It's kind of, you know, country, and, you know, you're going down these country roads, and if you don't be careful and take the right turn, you can get lost and drive 5 miles the wrong direction. Amen? So that's what they did. They drove me, this colonel picked me and my wife up 2 years ago to take us to an Air Force base, which was a real high privilege to go to an Air Force base in Israel. And he went backwards and forwards, and he drove us in so many circles, we didn't know where we were. Then all of a sudden, we pulled up to a checkpoint, and there were these Israeli, young Israeli girls, 19 years old, 18 years old, 20 years old, with machine guns. And they checked his biometric scan, his hand or his card or whatever, and we had given our passports 2 days before to the government. We were given a serious background check. They already knew who we were. And we arrived at this gate, and there were checkpoints. You had to pass like 6 or 7 checkpoints to get into the base. And there were all these young women with machine guns. I wouldn't mess with those gals, you know. I wouldn't mess with them, whether they had guns or no guns, you know. They're trained to kill. And anyway, so let's go on. God raised up a deliverer and a man named Judah Maccabee. Judah led a militia of farmers, shepherds, and workmen and fought the mighty Syrian army after 3 years. In 165 BC, the Maccabees took back the temple of the living God in Jerusalem. They cleansed it. They repaired it. They consecrated it. They relit the 7-branch menorah. You see a picture of the menorah. There's a 7-branch one down below, a real one down below. And there's a picture of the Hanukkah. The Hanukkah menorah has 9 branches, which is right below me, this beautiful cloth banner. But that's a replica, almost an exact replica of the temple menorah of the lampstand sitting on the table there. Okay? So they consecrated the lampstand, they consecrated the altar, they rebuilt things, and they only had enough oil. The Jews say the miracle of Hanukkah is that there was only enough consecrated oil to last for one day, but they only, because it takes 7 days according to the law of Moses to consecrate oil, to consecrate oil, and they only had enough oil for one day, but it lasted 8 days. It gave them an extra time to consecrate new oil. Isn't that awesome? So they call that the miracle of Hanukkah. But the miracle of Hanukkah is more than that. It's the fact that the Jews even beat the Greeks. That's the miracle of Hanukkah, that a Jewish militia defeated the Greek army. That's the amazing, to me, that's the real miracle of Hanukkah. All right? So there were two great miracles of Hanukkah, at least. The Jews defeated the mighty Syrian Greek army and the paganism, paving the way for the Messiah to be born. Number two, the oil in the menorah, the lampstand burned for 8 days when there was only enough for one day. Antiochus attempted to destroy the Jews and Judaism between 168 and 165 BC. Had he succeeded, there would have been no Messiah, no Christianity, perhaps Yeshua. Jesus was thinking of this fact as he celebrated Hanukkah in John 10:22. Perhaps he was thinking, if I'm going to remember this, because if Judah Maccabee didn't save the day with God's help, there would be no Christians. There would be no Gentiles worshiping me. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be saved. Without Hanukkah, there'd be no Christmas. Without Christmas, there'd be no Easter. There'd be no Passover. There'd be no death, burial, and resurrection. All gone. Why did Yeshua celebrate Hanukkah? Interestingly, the events of Hanukkah took place during the intertestamental period. In other words, the Bible was stopped. They stopped writing the Bible about 400 years. The last prophet was Malachi. He was actually Italian. His name was Malachi, and he was the last Jewish prophet. No, I'm just kidding. His name was Malachi, and he wrote the last prophetic book of the Bible, and then all revelation, biblical revelation from God ceased for 400 years until the New Testament, no, actually more than 400 years, for over 400 years, all biblical revelation ceased. And it's not as though history didn't stop. The Bible stopped. And the Old Testament stopped. And there was nobody writing the Bible for 400 years or more. Wow. But Hanukkah happened right in the middle of that, 168 BC to 165, Hanukkah took place. And so that it wasn't in the Jewish Bible. So the funny thing is, Jews celebrate Hanukkah that wasn't in their Bible. And Christians who have it right in John 10 don't celebrate it for the most part. It's a Christian holiday that's in the Christian Bible that Jews celebrate. It's not in their Bible. Go figure that one out. Okay, interesting. The events of Hanukkah took place during the intertestamental period of history. So why did Yeshua celebrate the recently instituted minor holiday that was, quote-unquote, minor holiday, that was not addressed in the Old Testament scriptures? Number one, it was Satan's final attempt to destroy the Jews before the birth of the Jewish Messiah. Satan was trying to destroy the Jews because he knew the Messiah was coming. He knew that Jesus was going to be born and come into the world, and he was trying to stop it. Okay? That's one reason. So it's about, you know, Yeshua is celebrating his own birth by celebrating Hanukkah. Herod attempted to destroy all Jewish boys born in Bethlehem, but that was after Yeshua's birth. Number two, by celebrating Hanukkah, Yeshua was affirming the message of the first and second commandments. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Exodus 20, verse 1 through 5. King Antiochus forced many Jews to bow down to his idols of Zeus and worship them. He was forcing the Jews to break God's commandments and to commit idolatry. In other words, Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah because he, the God of Israel, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, who is the God of Israel incarnate, hated idolatry, hates idolatry. He hates idolatry. Read Deuteronomy 6, 7, and 8. God hates other gods. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other God. Amen? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and worship him only. Amen? Commandment number one. Thou shalt have no other gods. Worship the Lord thy God and have no other gods before me. Praise God. Hanukkah affirms that the God of Israel is the living God. And Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah to stress that point, that idolatry is still out with him. He's against idolatry. He's against paganism. He doesn't like it. Okay? Now, does that mean Christians can't celebrate Christmas even though it's connected to the birth of the sun god, Tammuz, or birth of Zeus? Well, we live in the time of grace, and I'm going to tell you this. Nobody's going to hell because you celebrate Christmas. Okay? Nobody's going to hell celebrating Christmas. Even though it's syncretism, it's a mixture of it was created, it was pagan worship of the birth of the sun deity, the sun god, Tammuz, Zeus, you can look it up, Horus, all these things having to do with sun worship. It's all connected. You can look it up. But just because I know that Christians who love Jesus and love God are really worshiping Jesus, and they're even though it's it may not be his birthday, you know, my pastor celebrates Christmas, okay? He knows it's not his birthday, but he loves Jesus. So I don't tell him not to celebrate it. I don't tell you not to celebrate Christmas. That's your decision. And nobody's going to hell for celebrating Christmas, but because you live under grace. Under the law, in the time of Jesus, if you broke the law of Moses, you could be stoned for celebrating a pagan holiday. If you broke the Sabbath under Moses, you could be stoned for breaking the Sabbath. But now the penalty is not death. So you can celebrate Christmas. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying you can. You won't die. But you know, Mark 7, and we're gonna look at that. Mark 7 asks the question about whether we should do things like that. But let's go on here. Let's finish this. Okay. So at the same time Yeshua was celebrating Hanukkah, many Jewish people were most likely participating in some ancient pagan practices that Judah Maccabee fought against. Jews are doing it. Jews were participating in the pagan stuff that the Greeks were into. And believe it or not, these same pagan practices from ancient times are the origin, you know, as I said, connected to Christmas. As I mentioned before, Hanukkah means dedication. Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, was dedicated, letting the world know about his divinity, the gospel. He was dedicated to ending all worship of false gods and idols. And he was dedicated to teaching his people not to worship him in conjunction with false gods. Yeshua is very dedicated. But there's one other thing I want that he's dedicated to, and I'm going to tell you about that. First, I want to talk a little bit about the Antichrist. Antiochus was not the Antichrist, but he was a type or foreshadow of the real Antichrist, or the Anti-Messiah. The prophet Daniel wrote of the Antichrist, "The Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the prince to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and it will come to an end with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. He will make a firm covenant with the many, with the Gentiles for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to the sacrifice and the middle and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate even until a complete destruction. Daniel 9:26-27. The events of Hanukkah were prophesied in the words of Daniel. Yochanan, I'm just summarizing. There's a lot more meat here about Hanukkah that I'm not doing today. The events of Hanukkah were prophesied in these words of Daniel. Yochanan, John, the good high priest who Antiochus murdered, represents Yeshua, the Messiah, the anointed one. According to Hebrews 2:17 and 3:1, Yeshua is our high priest. Throughout the Old Testament, whoever legitimately held the office of king or high priest was a type of Messiah. That's the way they viewed whoever held the office of the king or high priest was like the Messiah. Okay, the majority of the Jewish people, and by the way, Jews didn't celebrate birthdays. Do you ever notice? And I'm not intending to teach on Christmas, but do you ever notice that nobody ever celebrated Jesus' birthday? That none of the Marys ever baked him a cake, Mary Magdalene, Mary his mother, or Mary and Martha. Nobody ever baked him a cake for his birthday. Nobody made him fig cakes or raisin cakes or date cakes. Nobody ever had a party. Nobody ever lit candles. They never had a celebration except for that one birthday when he was born. Did the magi, the wise men, came and gave gifts. There's no record of any celebration or even date. Nobody even doesn't give a date for his birthday. Why? Jews don't celebrate birthdays. I think it's Ecclesiastes, it says, it's better to die than to be born, because if you're born, you're going to come into this world, experience all the sorrows that are going to come upon you. You're better off dying than being born. It says it. Anybody read that scripture in Ecclesiastes? I don't know where it is, but you can look it up. That you're, you know, God himself says, you know, he bashes birthdays. Anyway, so Judaism traditionally, now, do Jews celebrate birthdays today? Yeah, it's because we're assimilated. Today, Jews celebrate birthdays. By the way, I want to thank the person who acknowledged Pastor Appreciation Month and gave me a gift. I appreciate that. October was Pastor Appreciation Month, and I want to acknowledge silently without naming the person who remembered. Thank you. That's not in the Bible either. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I thought it was a good opportunity to thank that person. All right. Let's see. Rabbis get forgotten. There is no Rabbi Appreciation Day. Somebody needs to come up with it. Somebody call Hallmark, will you? Isaac, get on the phone. Call Hallmark, will you? All right, let's see here. So, the events of Hanukkah were prophesied in the words of Daniel. Yochanan, the good high priest, who Antiochus, you know I'm joking, I'm just having fun with you. Antiochus murdered represents Yeshua, the Messiah, the anointed one, according to Hebrews. So throughout the Old Testament, whoever legitimately held the office of king or high priest was the type of Messiah. And the majority of the Jewish people were content to be ruled by Antiochus, a type of Antichrist, until he began to force his religion on them. However, by accepting the pagan Antiochus as the legitimate ruler of Israel, the Jewish nation entered into a covenant with him. It was about the middle of the first 7 years of Antiochus' reign that he put a stop to the daily sacrifice. Daniel also said of Antichrist, he will intend to make alterations in times and in law. Daniel 7:25. Antiochus changed the calendar of the Jews. Their holy days were abolished and the law of Moses forbidden. He banned the Bible. Syrian oppression was a time of tribulation for the saints in those days. Antiochus blasphemed the Most High God. 2 Thessalonians 3:4 says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. the son of destruction who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, just like Antiochus, displaying himself as being God. Those Jews who forsook the Holy Covenant to follow the religion of Hellenism committed apostasy. Many did this before Antiochus took the mask off and revealed himself as the enemy of God and his people. When Antiochus turned against Israel, he wasted no time taking his seat in the temple of God and displaying himself as being God, Daniel 9 through 11. He prophesied the coming of Antiochus. Daniel's prophecy also is a future prophecy of the coming Antichrist. Daniel's prophecy is the Hanukkah story, and the Hanukkah story is prophetic of the Antichrist who is to come. It should be noted that God uses forerunners in his word. Moses was a forerunner of Joshua. Joshua was a forerunner of Elijah. Elijah was a forerunner of Elisha. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Yeshua. In the same way, Antiochus was a forerunner of the Antichrist. There are those who argue that Antichrist will come out of the revived Roman Empire. There are those who argue the Antichrist will be a Muslim from the Middle East. Antiochus was from Syria, a Muslim country today. However, he was of Macedonian Greek lineage. So there's, you know, I think he's going to come from the West myself. Taking this in context, the coming Antichrist could be, well, I'll just leave it at that. I think he's coming from the West. I'm not concluding the message, but I'll just say history has a way of repeating itself. Let's go on here. Okay. So I said before, Hanukkah is about cleansing and repairing and rededicating God's temple and holy altar. 3 years after the Greeks captured it and desecrated it, I have a question for you. I said this before, and I'll ask it again. I won't. Where does a Christian get married? Where's the wedding? And how about a Messianic Jewish wedding? Right here, right in front of me. Where will Yeshua's wedding take place? Somebody said in the clouds. Maybe. I don't know. I'm going to give you the answer. Read Zechariah 8. Let's look at Zechariah 8. Hallelujah. Zechariah 8. Then the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Zion. Yes, with great wrath I am jealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Then the Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts will be called the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women will again sit in the streets of Jerusalem. So in Zechariah, Yeshua is zealous. He's jealous for Jerusalem. He's going to come back and dwell there, it says. It says with great wrath, he's jealous for her. He's going to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Zechariah 14 says, that the Lord is coming back. He will set foot on the Mount of Olives. Here in verse 1, behold, a day is coming, Zechariah 14, for the Lord, when the spoil will be taken from you, will be divided among you, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled, but the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. And that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in the middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the mountains. Okay, so I'm going to stop there. When the day that Yeshua comes back, it says in verse 7, it will be a unique day which is known to the Lord, neither night, day or night, it will come about at evening time, there will be light. And in that day living waters will flow out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea. And God will be king over all the earth, verse 9, on that day.
And it's interesting, that's the beginning of the millennial reign. Now, they set up the altar for the millennial temple, for the Antichrist temple. It's in the news. Somebody sent me on Facebook yesterday. Anthony's big on this temple stuff. They're preparing the Orthodox Jews, not the Messianic. The Orthodox have everything ready to rebuild the temple. They've raised money. They've got a golden lampstand. They've got all the implements. But they're planning to rebuild Herod's temple. God never said to rebuild Herod's temple. God said in Ezekiel 40, he gives us instructions for the next temple. That's the millennial temple. So Herod, whatever temple these Orthodox Jews are building is the one the Antichrist is going to rule in. He's going to desecrate it. Are you following me? The Antichrist is going to rule for times and half a time. For times and half a time. For 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to take over the man-made temple before the coming of the Messiah. When Yeshua comes, that temple is going to be destroyed. And Yeshua probably himself will rebuild the Ezekiel temple, which has never been built. If you read Ezekiel 40 to 47, I'm not going to read it today. You'll read all the instructions God gives for the Ezekiel temple. That's the millennial temple. It's never been built. No temple has been built according to those instructions. That's the millennial temple. Now the question is, why do we need a millennial temple? Why do we need a temple? Why is he going to build the altar? I'm going to get to it. So we read Zechariah 8 and 14. Revelation 19:7 says, I'll read it to you. Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell at his feet to worship him. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's read on here. So if you are getting married, so where will the bride of Messiah step up to the altar? Where will the bride of Messiah step up to the altar? Will it take place at I believe it'll take place at the altar of the millennial temple on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. That's why God is zealous for Jerusalem. That's why God is zealous over Zion. Because that's why he celebrated Hanukkah. Because just like Judah Maccabee had a zeal and a passion to destroy the Syrians, to take back the temple, to relight the lampstand, amen, and to cleanse the temple and reconsecrate it and dedicate it, amen? Get it? This is so awesome. Yeshua is passionate about his bride. And if you knew you were getting married in a church or a synagogue and you were planning 6 months out and that place had a fire or had a flood, would you do everything in your power to either help get it fixed? If you were determined, let's say you grew up in a church and your church had a disaster, would you not help your pastor or rabbi or synagogue, wherever, do everything in their power to get that place ready for your wedding? Raise your hand if you would. If you knew you were getting married 6 months out, 8 months out, and let's say it was, you had picked that church or synagogue, you had your heart set on it. You grew up there. You spent your life. You've been there for 20, 30, 40 years, and that's the zeal. That our Messiah, that's not even close to the zeal. Okay? The bride's going to step up to an altar. I don't believe, with all due respect, that she's going to step up to a cloud. She's going to step up to an altar on a temple. Remember, we're going to be on the earth for 1,000 years. with the Messiah dwelling in Jerusalem. And I believe that either the God, the Melchizedek, is going to perform the wedding, the God the Father who appeared to Abraham, and Abraham tithed to him in Genesis 14, or Aaron, the Levite, or King David, a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, will perform the wedding for the Son of God and for his bride. And we're going to feast with the Messiah. We're going to have bodies. We're going to eat food. Remember, Yeshua, when he died, came back on earth, right? And he showed the holes in his hands. And then he ate on the beach. And he said, I'm hungry. You guys got something to eat? Remember that? The resurrected Lord showed up on earth and said, guys, I'm hungry. You got something to eat? Glory to God. I'm telling you, the revelation I got is that Jesus celebrated Hanukkah because he is zealous for his altar. He's zealous for his temple. Do you know that when he went to his temple, when he walked on the earth, that he was never permitted to preach? Do you know that when he went to his temple, that he had to teach in secret? And that when he shouted out and cried out, it was illegal, really? He's the God of that temple. But he wasn't respected as such. It's like the preacher coming to his own temple and saying, well, preacher, you sit in the back row back there. We're going to run the service today, okay? Rabbi, you just sit yourself in the back. We're going to do things different. We're going to do things a little different here today. And he took it. And he sat and took it. And he didn't get upset. And he went there. And he kept coming. Passover to Passover. Sukkot, John 7. Hanukkah, John 10. Feast after feast. Disrespected. Dishonored by his own people. Never permitted. Never honored. Never worshipped as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine how could you imagine going to your house and somebody's in your house, sitting in your easy chair, woman cooking in your kitchen, using your food, sleeping in your bed? How many of you would sit there and take it? Not many of us, right? But he did. He did. They took his temple, and he took it. And he kept his mouth shut. He just preached. He cried out and said, what did he say in John 7? If any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Come to me. He was more interested in your salvation. He's more interested in you coming to know the truth than the offense. Thank you. Than the offense. He was more interested in that, in your salvation, than the offense of not even being respected in his own temple. He was more concerned that you should know God and go to heaven and be saved. Jesus celebrated Hanukkah because the Antichrist is going to desecrate his temple, just like Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple in the time of the Maccabees, and Judah Maccabee had a zeal to cleanse the temple, to consecrate the altar, to repair, to light the lampstand, to get the worship going. And he restarted Judaism. He brought back the Bible. He brought back circumcision. And yes, the Maccabees were corrupt people. They became powerful, and there was infighting, and there was wealth, and they became corrupted because they were people. And people, power, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But he did a good thing. Oftentimes, great men do good things, then they really mess up. And that's, you know why that happens? You know why Moses struck the rock and didn't get to go to the promised land? Because if he didn't, he'd have been so perfect that people would worship him. But God always takes a great man and makes him stumble at some point, even Martin Luther, to show that he's human. The only one who's perfect is Messiah. So just like Antiochus was a type of the Messiah, of the Antichrist, and he desecrated, and for three years he took over the Jewish temple, he banned the Bible, he banned circumcision, he sacrificed a pig on the holy altar, he brought idols into the temple, he took the lampstand, went out, the fire went out. Judah the Maccabee and his brothers came in, and with zeal the people came back. They killed the Syrians. They kicked them out. They took over the temple in 165, and they held the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, the first Hanukkah. And they rededicated the altar. Folks, that is what Hanukkah's about, the reconsecration of the altar. It's all about the altar. Where does a woman get married? At the altar. What's that song about the altar? I love that song. Anybody know it? If you remember it. Oh, it's a beautiful song. The guy that sang it, he fell from grace, but it's a beautiful Christian song about coming to the altar. Our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior is passionate about his altar, and that's why he celebrated Hanukkah, and he still celebrates Hanukkah to this day. And that's why it's in the New Testament. And that's why I invite Christians to come and join with Messianic Jews and celebrate our Savior who's passionate to consecrate the altar that you're going to be married at to him. Amen. He's not looking back at a baby. Nobody ever got saved believing in a baby. He's looking ahead to your marriage. He's always looking forward, folks. He's not looking back. He went to the cross, but he's not on the cross. Where's the cross today? Nobody knows. Yeah, he was in the Holy of Holies. Read Jeremiah 3. The Holy of Holies is gone. The Ark of the Covenant is never going to be seen again. People make mysteries. It's on National Geographic, Discovery Channel, History Channel. Where? Mysteries of the Ark of the Covenant. What's his name? Harrison Ford made gazillion dollars searching for the Ark of the Covenant. And if they just read Jeremiah 3, it would tell you it's gone, never to be seen again. Why? Because people would worship it. It's gone. Aaron's rod that budded is gone. The jar of manna is gone. Nehushtan, the people took the pole. If you read in John 3, just before John 3:16, read John 14, 3:14, 3:15. They took the bronze serpent that Moses raised in order to kill the, you know, people looked at the bronze serpent on the pole. And the serpent represented sin. It was like looking at the cross. It was a type, a shadow of looking at the cross, and the people were healed. But then they made an idol out of the bronze pole and the bronze serpent, and they called it Nehushtan. You can read it in the Bible, Nehushtan. And Moses destroyed it. They just destroyed the pole. It's gone. Because people were worshiping the pole. Do you know you can worship the cross instead of the God of the cross? Think about that one, folks. It's possible to make an idol out of the cross and not the God of the cross. Nobody's saved by the cross. You're saved because you believe in the God of the cross. And he's not on the cross anymore. And he's not a babe in the manger. He died. What he wants you to believe in, and why this is why Hanukkah is so important, is he doesn't want you to believe. He wants you to believe in his death, that he died for your sins. He wants you to believe that he was buried 3 days and three nights. He wants you to believe that he rose from the dead on the third day. Does he want you to believe he was born? Yes, he does. But everybody believes he was born. Muslims believe he was born. Pagans believe he was born. Jews believe he was born. I always believed he was born. We always talked about Jesus. We just didn't believe in him. Because I know, unless you hear the gospel, that he's the Son of God. Paul tells you, for what I have received, I preach to you. For this is the gospel that I received. Somewhere in Corinthians. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Amen? That's the gospel. That's what he wants you to believe. If you believe that he died for your sins, then you believe he was born. He wants you to celebrate that. He's passionate. If you were getting married and the place of your future wedding was desecrated, would it bother you? Would you be passionate, even zealous, to repair it, to consecrate the holy altar for your beautiful bride? Let's read the Hanukkah story. We read it, and I'm conclusion now. Turn to Mark 7:17. I'm almost done. Mark 7:7. I'm sorry, not 7:17. Mark 7:7. But in vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother. And he goes on, but I'm going to stop there with that. Verse 7. But in vain do they worship me. If we don't worship him according to why, to the ways he told us, when Yeshua celebrated Hanukkah, he took his signet ring and he put a seal of approval on the holiday that really had no biblical affirmation. But by John 10, by him celebrating it, he's putting his stamp on Hanukkah and saying, hey, this is kosher. And now he left guys like me to come and teach you why. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, yeah, you can worship him in holidays that men made, like Christmas, which came in 300 years after he was crucified. The first Christmas was celebrated. You can celebrate it, but I ask you this question. He says, not me, this is his words, but in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. How many millions and millions of people are following the traditions of men? And then it gets all mixed up with Santa Claus and reindeer and elves and commercialism. Amen? And it gets all confused. And how is it all these unbelievers can celebrate Christmas without Jesus? Millions. Millions. And they decorate. Oh, they got their things hanging and their red balls and their Christmas trees and their ornaments and all this stuff. Are they really worshiping a feast of God? I'm not going to answer that. I'm going to leave it to you to decide. I'm not telling you what to do. I am telling you what Jesus said in Mark 7:7. But in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines. Most Jewish guys who are around here, they wouldn't tell you this. I'm not afraid to tell you the truth. And if it bothers you, good. I love you. And I want you to know the truth. Because know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Amen. And I never compromise. I always tell you the truth. Because the truth will make you free. And he said, in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines the precepts of men, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. Why do you follow the masses? The way that leads to destruction is wide. The way that leads to eternal life is narrow. You need to be seekers of truth. Ask God to show you the real thing. If you want to learn about Hanukkah, get this book, dedicate and celebrate. Come to our service next week on Friday night. Come worship with us. You don't have to leave your church. Nobody, we're not a huge group. We haven't threatened Bristol's churches. Just come and learn. I have a teaching tape on it. I have newsletters. Folks who are here who want to celebrate, if you don't have a menorah like that, that's okay. We have one electric one downstairs you can get. But if you don't have one, use whatever candles you have. If you don't have one with 8, 9 candles, and I'll explain the meaning of the 9 candles next week. I'll explain that. But if you don't have one, just take whatever candle holder you have and light one each day for 8 days, starting tomorrow night. Light 2 candles, one for the big one on top, and use that one to light the other one. And then light it 8 times each day. Light it each day. You don't have to have a fancy menorah like that. It's okay. You don't have to use these candles. You can use any candles you want. It's your heart. Our Lord, nowhere in Scripture are we told, well, I said that to you. You know, King David, he carried the ark wrong. He was worshiping with all his might when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem. He was worshiping with all his might, and then the ark tipped over, and this guy named Uzzah grabbed it, and God struck him down dead. And David got scared, and he got angry with God. And he didn't know what he did wrong, because he was worshiping God with all his might. He was so excited to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, bring it back, get ready to build a temple. But Uzzah was struck down dead because he grabbed it. Why? Because Uzzah wasn't a Levite. And the Torah teaches that only Levites could touch and hold, transport the Ark of the Covenant. And that's why Uzzah, and you can look him up, U-Z-Z-A-H, Uzzah, was struck down. So David went back, and 2-3 months later, he left. Guess where he left the ark? He left it in a priest's house, a guy named Obed-Edom. And it said God blessed Obed-Edom exceedingly. He left the ark at Obed-Edom's house, dropped it off. Hey, Mr. Obed-Edom, got this, the Ark of the Covenant for you. Just do me a favor. Hold on to it for a couple months. I'll be back. He went to Jerusalem. Somebody must have instructed him. He read the law. He read the Torah. Somebody taught David only Levites can touch the ark. David went back, straightened out his act, came back to Jerusalem with the ark, and he danced in his loincloth. Amen? And his wife hated him for it. She despised him. He was rejoicing. He was so excited to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. But see, at first he was worshiping in vain. But then when he did it the right way, God blessed him. Folks, I love you, and God loves you. God loves you a whole lot more than I do. I'm trying to help you figure it out. And what you do is up to you. You're under grace. You can celebrate whatever you want. As far as I'm concerned, you can go worship the pigskin. you can worship any holiday you want, okay? It's up to you. I'm not going to change Christianity. I just invite you to come learn about Hanukkah. Our Lord is passionate about his altar. He's passionate about his temple. He's coming back to Jerusalem. He's going to cleanse, consecrate, dedicate, rededicate, celebrate, and marry his bride on Mount Moriah in the new temple, the Ezekiel temple, that he's the foreman, he's the contractor, he's the developer. God's already given the plan. God the Father has given. Remember I said worship according to the pattern? Read Ezekiel 40 to 47. You're going to be married there on earth. That's my belief. That's why you're married at altars. When you get married, you come to an altar. Because everything is done by pattern. You come to church and synagogue because you're going to be worshiping in the temple in the millennium. You're going to be going to Jerusalem. Remember Zechariah 14:16? To celebrate the Feast of Sukkot. And the person from every nation that doesn't come up will have no rain. If you don't go to Jerusalem every year to celebrate Sukkot, God's going to give you enough money to fly to Israel, or he's going to give you wings, one or the other, or, you know, zap you to Jerusalem. If you don't go, you'll have no rain. Everybody, Jew and Gentile, all the nations. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. It's all about Jerusalem. And that's why the final battle is going to be against Jerusalem. Because the spirit of hell, of the Antichrist, is alive and well. And the fight against Jerusalem is going on right now. The fight against Jerusalem is going on right now. Wherever you stand, stand with the Jewish people. Wherever you stand, stand with the Jewish people, especially those who believe in the Messiah. Especially those who believe in the Messiah. Come and stand with us. We have, my next service is Friday night, right here, 7 o'clock. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for coming, and God bless. Sign up for our newsletter at our website. Like us on Facebook. For Zion's Sake Ministries or Ari Yehuda, and sign up. Go to our website there; that's listed, and you can sign up for our newsletter, for my teachings. May God richly bless you. Whatever you celebrate, we love you anyway. And I married into a Christian family, and I love them. They're very kind to me, and they celebrate Christmas. So, you know, I'm just preaching today, and just telling you. Telling you the word. What you do with it is up to you. Shabbat Shalom. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how I shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, Shabbat Shalom. God bless you. Come next Friday night, 7 p.m. right here, 1128 New Hampshire Avenue, Bristol, Virginia. God bless. Please stay with me, folks who are in here. You can turn off. Let's turn it all off. And I want to talk to the folks in the room for a second. Are we all off? Okay.